The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are A.J. Taylor of KIOW in Forest City and Dale Wagner with the Sac Sun in Sac City. A.J., you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
All right, sir. The question I have has to do with the Afghan withdrawal right now. Is this a timely thing to do, especially to set a date for that withdrawal of those troops?
I think withdrawal of the troops is okay, but it shouldn't have been announced because it tells them that we can do nothing between now and September the 11th, and then we can cement our efforts to take over the country, and that's exactly what they're going to do. I don't think they're going to bargain in good faith. Dale?
Yes, Senator. With the several mass shootings over the last couple of weeks or so, do you have some concerns about attacks on the Second Amendment going forward?
Well, you saw it last week or maybe 2 weeks ago in the White House when the president hasn't probably done everything he can do by executive order, but he did quite a bit during that period of time. And I don't think that there's a bill hurting the Second Amendment can get through the United States Senate, but that doesn't stop the president from where he has authority in past laws that Congress has passed to give him some authority through regulation or executive order to do something. He started to do it, and I don't think we've seen the end of that. A.J. Taylor?
Along those lines, sir, when it comes to gun control, now we're looking at situations down with immigration in Texas and in Arizona, New Mexico, and things of this nature, and the president wants to repeal some of those gun controls, or actually wants to enforce stronger gun control laws. And he also wants to bring more people across. What are your thoughts on either one of these? I mean, people need to be protected down there, but he's also allowing more people in.
And guns with it, because you've seen those guns on television.
Exactly.
And that's what happens when you don't secure the border. So securing the border is very basic to being an independent country, a sovereign country. And so consequently, just opening the border is bringing guns in, bringing criminals in. When I was down there 3 weeks ago, at that point, 841 so far this year with criminal records, and it's a crisis too, and it's also a national security issue when you arrest two people from Yemen that are on our terrorist list, and they cross the border, obviously were arrested, so I assume that there's no problems with them at this point, but you also have arrested MS-13 gang member coming in, and those are just the ones that they find. So, you know, it's a critical situation. And the sad thing of it is, and then I'll go on to the next tale, is to say that this administration was warned about an impending crisis if they didn't keep the Trump way of handling and controlling the border in place, that they'd have a crisis. Two times, top people of Border Patrol advised the transition team for Biden before he's sworn in. The first day, they stopped building the fence. The first day, they start inviting people into the country. So we have a crisis, and it's of their making. Dale.
Yes, Senator. What parts of President Biden's massive infrastructure bill would you be willing to get behind?
Well, for sure, the 5% of it that builds roads and highways. And then I would imagine beyond that 5%, there's another 20% that could legitimately be called infrastructure that would add up to about $600 billion. That would be broadband, could be airports, municipal infrastructure, locks and dams on the Mississippi, et cetera, et cetera. You can go on naming lot of subparts of that $600 billion. I could probably go along with that if it's paid for. Then what it's difficult to go along for is the stuff that isn't infrastructure. And I'll just mention one out of the remaining, let's see, it'd be about one and six tenths trillion, I think, would be $400 billion of that would be for expanding Medicaid. That's not infrastructure. AJ.
Now, when it comes to all this spending, sir, how can we justify this? I mean, the American taxpayer, we're coming across that deadline now. How can this be justified that we're spending all this money when we're looking at situations coming out of a COVID situation?
No. I am only going to try to justify the first $4 trillion, of which $1 trillion hasn't even been spent yet, that we passed on 90-plus votes in the United States Senate. Four, I think there was five of them. I said four. Five bills passed between March and Christmas. And the justification for that is that the federal government shut down the economy, and the first time in the history of our country, and 22 million people are unemployed. You got to fight a virus, and the stock market's going to heck because people are losing their confidence. So the first $2.2 trillion was to immediately attack those three problems. We thought we could be over 90 days. Well, obviously here, 14 months later, we aren't over it. But it was because the government did it, and the government needed to help cure the problem. That's the only justification I can give you, and I think it's a legitimate one. But when you pass $1.9 trillion this year, and only 10% of it's related to the pandemic, but the pandemic is used as an excuse to get a lot of other things that are on the Democrat dream list, I can't justify that. Dale Wagner.
Yes, sir. The farmer in you is probably getting the itch to be in a field now that we're heading into mid to late April here. Do you have concerns about the ag economy under this administration?
Not yet. I would be if I didn't think they were going to enforce the agreement with China, as an example. I would be if they pass a lot of global warming legislation that attacks the energy and make energy so expensive because it's so highly intensive, agriculture is, with energy. The present farm programs in place until 2023, I don't see them fiddling with that. They seem to be very positively about ethanol, so that doesn't concern me so much. Now, you might interview me in 6 months, and I'd say I got a lot of concern. But right now, not a lot. AJ?
And this has then to deal with our trade impact, not only with China, obviously, which we're trying to at least keep those trade measures in place so that we can move our grains, but also about Russia and things like this. Do you see an impact potentially now with this hardline approach the administration is taking that we might see some issues with regards to our trade towards that country?
I don't think so. First of all, you know, they most were interested in our grains in the 70s and 80s when they had socialized farming and the crops weren't producing what they would under the family farm operation. There's been some threat to our corporations doing business over there with what the president did last week, but I think the president's justified in doing what he did. And I think we have less of a threat from Russia than we do from China or North Korea or Iran. Dale.
Senator, you're working on a variety of appointments through the Judicial Committee. What's coming out of there now?
Well, mostly the cabinet people that are under the jurisdiction of the Judiciary Committee. And most of those are sub-cabinet positions within the judiciary, within the Justice Department, and then we're just now getting some names of judges and having hearings on judges, and I guess I would expect much more liberal people being on the bench, considering the progressive attitude of the Democratic Party. It's almost controlled by progressives. So I would find people that may be very well qualified to be on the court, and just very liberal. I hope I'm broad-minded enough to only vote for people that are not qualified, not just because I don't agree with their approach to the law.
Sir, we've seen some issues with regards to COVID-19 vaccine, and obviously we've pulled Johnson & Johnson right now off the shelves. Do you have firm confidence in the other vaccines that are being administered across the country, or should they now kind of take a look and see maybe we need to do additional research but still keep the flow going?
On Moderna and Pfizer, I don't have any problems. And when you figure 6 million people have been vaccinated with Johnson & Johnson and 6 people have had the blood clots, one of those 6 died, it comes down to a percentage of people being affected. I think I just read 0.0028. 0.00028. I should have been more specific. So I think that the virus is so bad, and even though the chances of death aren't so great, we still lost 600,000 people in the United States, 3 million people worldwide. It isn't something you should take for granted, and I'm listening to the scientists, and it doesn't bother me. Dale, you'll have the last question.
Okay. Sticking with the COVID theme, DA, there's going to be another relief bill for payment to the public again?
No. And I would think that that's done with. The next thing I think you got to worry about, will the economy be going so good by September that when the $300 added on to the state unemployment, the $300 that comes from the federal government, that is making it very impossible for small business to compete for the government with employees when the employees get paid more than they would if they were working. I would hope the economy is going so well that we would that they'd be embarrassed to ask to continue that program. Okay, goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, AJ and Dale, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.